Turning your Bibles to Matthew 28, we're going to begin a brief study in discipleship, or in a sense, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We must have an understanding of this vital subject if we're really going to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Discipleship is a subject that is talked about a lot, but it's not always understood, especially when we start talking about what is a disciple, what is a believer, how do they fit together, and those kind of things. This morning, as I said, and for the next several weeks, we want to deal with this area, and there's a lot involved. One thing about it, on one hand, these truths are pretty simple. You'd say, well, here's a believer, here's a disciple, here's how things fit. But on the other hand, they're pretty deep. There's a lot of things involved, of course, in the Word of God. In fact, the Bible is like that. In almost every area you can name, the Bible, as some have said, is so shallow that any child can wade in it, because even the gospel is for little children in that sense. And yet, the Bible is also so deep that we'll never understand all of the truths and all of the things that are there for us. So there's a lot in here as we study this. We've got a number of goals. And let me just name some things I want you to be thinking about as we go through. One is we want to be like Christ. That's one of the goals that we have. We want to grow as a believer. That's a goal. We want to serve our Savior. In fact, we want our life to count in that way, and we want to touch other lives for Christ. Those are some things that tie back in to being a disciple, because I bet you if each one of us in this room said, is that what you want to see? Well, do you want to be like Christ? Do you want to grow? Do you want to make a difference? Do you want your life to touch other lives? We would say yes. Well, there's a lot here, and we need to have an understanding of being a disciple and discipleship. Let me raise some questions before we begin in prayer. Number of questions. First, what is discipleship? Because you hear people talking about discipleship, and this person discipled this person. What does all that mean? Second is, what is a disciple? And a question that ties in with that is, are you a disciple? If someone said to you, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? We'd ask, what does that mean? Third, what are the characteristics of a disciple? In other words, if somebody said, well, live like a disciple, well, what would I do to live like a disciple? And then we're going to raise the question that is, I think the key to all of this, especially to understand this, is there a difference between being a disciple and being a believer? And we'll see how that fits together. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this morning. We thank you for the privilege that we have of coming together. Lord, I just thank you for each one who's taken the time to come. May we have a great time as we study your word. Lord, I thank you for this class and the privilege that I have of getting to teach it week after week. Thank you, Lord, for that. I do not take it for granted, and I thank you for that. Lord, we ask you that as we look at the subject of discipleship, and we know, Lord, how important it is, and you taught these things, our Savior, and so, Lord, we want to understand them. And these truths, and then make application in our lives. Lord, we want to grow. We want to be different. We want to touch other lives for Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to use us in a way that is even beyond what we could think. Lord, we ask you to take us and use us. Teach us today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the church supposed to do? I mean, you hear people saying, we're looking for a good church. What is a good church? What does a good church do? I mean, you hear people say all the time, well, we couldn't find a good church. We moved to Tulsa. We couldn't find one. I have people call me. They say, we haven't found a good church over here. I would say, what is a good church? What do you look for? We find out from the Word of God that a church is really supposed to do two things. I mean, it sounds kind of funny to narrow it down to two great big aspects of a church. In fact, there's twofold aspects. When the church comes together, you've heard me teach this before. For some of you, this will not be new. For some, it may be new. When the church comes together, we call this the gathering of the believers. When we gather, and then when we scatter. And the truth is, we're scattered a whole lot more than we're gathered. If you came to everything in Countryside, you'd come to Sunday morning and to Sunday school and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and maybe a 4-12, and all of those might be 5 to 6 hours the whole week. So there's a possibility that you might be gathered with other believers at this local body maybe 6 hours the whole week. What about all the rest of the other time? You are scattered. And so in reality, when we start thinking about a church, it is gathered when we come together, scattered when we're spread out. Now, what are we supposed to do? When we are gathered, when we come together, there is twofold. There is worship and training. I want you to think about that. When we come together on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or Sunday school or a Wednesday night or one of our Thursday morning 4-12s or any other 4-12 that you might could find listed Tuesday night, Monday night, whatever, when you come together, there's a twofold purpose of gathering, and that is worship and training. We come together to worship our Savior, the living God. That's what the only reason we even meet is because of Jesus. Without Him, we have nothing. There's no reason to meet without a Savior. And so we come together because of Jesus Christ to worship Him. The second thing we do is we train one another. We train and equip each other. That's our plan. Teach each other the Bible so we can know it and make application in our lives. So when we come together, it's a twofold. It is worship and training. Now, what about when we scatter out? That's also twofold. When you go out into this community on a daily basis, in fact, after if you're here 6 hours a week, boy, you're really doing great. That's a lot. In fact, you can't really do that. Very few can be here that many times. But if you could, then when you scatter out all the rest of those other hours, it's twofold. Evangelism and serving. Take the gifts and the talents that you have and you minister and touch other lives. And then you also take the message of Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, most unbelievers do not come with the gathered group. Now, we always present the gospel almost every time, especially whatever the passage talks about. But when on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, we'll present the gospel. But as a whole, it is believers gathering together, not unbelievers. And so when we're scattered out in this community, that's where we're going out to touch those lives of those unbelievers, those people who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. So when you think about the purpose of the church, it is gathered, worship and training, scattered, evangelism and service. All of this ties together into the term which we'd call discipleship. Because what discipleship really is evangelism and training. When we come together, there's the worship and the training. When we're scattered out, there's the evangelism and the serving. I want you to look at something. Look at Matthew 28. This is the famous passage which is called the Great Commission, in which we see Jesus giving the commission to what we're supposed to do. And what we find here is the bottom line is we make disciples. Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, we're going to spend probably next week in this study, we're going to look at this passage in much more detail. So don't worry about it today that I'm going to go pretty quickly, fast through it, because all I want you to see is one main thing. He says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Now, there is only one command in there, and that is to make disciples. But he tells you how to do it. He says, as you are going, as you are baptizing, as you are teaching. And what we find is there, as you go out and lead people to Christ and identify them with Jesus, that's evangelism. And then as you teach them to observe all which Jesus commanded, that's the training. And so when we think about discipleship, it is evangelism and training. When we think about our life as a local body, when we come together, it's worship and training. When we go scattered out in this community, it's evangelism and service. That's how it fits together. Now, that's the whole idea of discipleship. Now, what we want to do is we want to think about discipleship, and we want to think about being a disciple. We want to see how this ties together. In fact, if the bottom line is if we're to make disciples, that's the commission, then the truth is you're going to have to be a disciple to make disciples. And you've got to know what being a disciple is. We're going to have to understand how discipleship works if we're going to carry out the Great Commission. And that's what our church and that's what each individual believer is to do. Let me give you the outline for our study. This is going to take us just about probably 3 weeks at the most. May take more than that. By the way, here's something that I tell you a lot, but sometimes we don't always think about it. If you've got a question or a comment, raise your hand. I know it's a bigger crowd, and the bigger the crowd, the less response usually there is. But if you've got a question or a comment, let me know as we go through this because we want to interact. We want to deal with the things that you're dealing with. So here's our study. First of all, today as we get into this, we're going to look at a contrast between a believer and a disciple. We're going to see the idea of one being a gift and the other being a reward. One is a gift and the other cost is basically. Then we're going to look at four characteristics of being a disciple. You could even look at your own life and say, do I show off these characteristics? Am I a disciple? Is this what I look like? And then we're going to talk about becoming a disciple. We'll see how that fits together. Now, that's the plan for today, but we may not get that far. I don't know. It's according to whatever interaction and ever how slow we decide to go or whatever, ever how slow I decide to talk. And that's just according to what we'll do. Okay. And usually I talk pretty slow, as you know. Well, anyway, the second thing we're going to look at as we go through this study is God's plan. And it's the plan to make disciples. We'll see the commission. That's the Matthew 28 passage. And then we're going to look at fulfilling the commission. And we'll see how that ties together. At Countryside, there are two verses that we would say that our church calls them the foundational verses of our church. We say our church exists and is to do these things, and they're found right there. This one right here is Matthew 28. This one right here is Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 11 through about verse 16. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Ephesians 4, about verse 11 or verse 12 could be one, through about verse 16. Those are the two foundational verses for this church. And they're the foundational verses for us in our plan of making disciples. The last thing we'll see, which may be a couple of weeks, will be the whole idea of being a disciple. And up here we're talking about how do you become one, but then this is the whole idea of being a disciple, and the idea is preparing yourself training others, and then we're going to see the biblical pattern on making disciples. We're actually going to see some of the places in the Bible in which that happens. So that's the plan. And this is, to me, is a great study. In fact, it's a foundational study. And I've even got written in my notes here, I said, we're dealing with the foundational issues for our church. It's the whole idea of discipleship. Okay, let's begin. The key for ministry, the key for growth, is to being and making disciples. Let me tell you in my life, I want to give you a little background. I never went to church. I went to church once when I was 6, once when I was 12. You've heard me tell the story. The only thing I can remember when I went when I was 12 years old is they had donuts in between Sunday school and church. I do remember that. That's why we have donuts here. But anyway, I do remember that. That was what I remember. I also remember sitting in church looking at the people, because see, this is maybe my third time to ever go to church, and I remember that everybody in there seemed to be bored. Everybody in there were doing things like this. And there wasn't nobody had Bible, nobody opened the Bible. Wherever we went, the guy didn't, and I now look back and realize that nobody, they didn't teach the Bible. The guy was just talking, and so there was no reason to use a Bible, and so I noticed that nobody had Bibles. Hey, how are you? Good. So I remember sitting there watching people, and you know, guys were like this, and ladies were like this, and little kids were moving, and I was moving. I was little, you know, I was 12, but I was little. Anyway, I remember this, that when I was 19 years old, I went off to college and I put my faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. I wandered into a Bible study and they told me the truth, that Jesus died for me and paid for my sins. If I would trust in Him, I'd have eternal life. But you know, a funny thing happened. I did not grow. If you'd have said, JB, did you become a disciple of Christ? Did you? No. Did you know what discipleship was? No. Did anybody ever say, hey, JB, let's get together and let me just make sure you understand some of the basic truths of the Bible? No. And when I was 19 years old, all the way up until I was 25 years old, I never grew as a Christian. Sometimes I would go on Sunday morning, sometimes I would not go. And when I did go to a church. This is when I was coaching at Mississippi State. I did go to a church in which the guy actually taught the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage. I didn't know how good I had it. And I walked in there, and I would sit down, and I would take out the bulletin, and I would write all over the back, and I'd go verse 4, and he would talk about it, and I'd write things down, verse 5 or 6 or 7. And when time was up, he would stop wherever he stopped, and then he'd say, we'll take up there next week. So I'd close that up, put it in the Bible, go home, put the Bible down, do my stuff during the week, next morning pick it up and go, hey, there's where we are. Never studied, never grew. Until one day, somebody got with me and said, you know, do you understand how some of these things fit together? I said, no. What are you talking about? What do you mean some of these things fit together? He said, do you know what our message is? Do you know how to share your faith? I said, sure, I'm not telling you. I'm just barely enough to get to church, more or less telling anybody else about this stuff. And there was a good friend who worked in the athletic department, discipled me, changed my life. I began to understand. And then I began to go to church. And when Knapp, his name was Knapp Clark. His name was James Clark, but everybody called him Knapp. And when Knapp would teach, I'd go, God, this is great stuff. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to know this, and I'm going to start looking this up. Do you do that? Do you bring a Bible? Do you study the Word? Are you excited about the truths of the Scripture? Do you want to know it yourself? Do you want to get into it and say, I want to know that, I want to know the gospel. I want to know where to find it. I want to know how to share my faith. I want to know how the Bible fits together. I want to know how. Do you want to do that? Or do you even care? A disciple cares. We're going to see as we go through this study that the goal of our lives, let me tell you, we got these 4:12s. That's what we're calling them because it's based on Ephesians 4:12. That's one of our foundation verses that we talk about. Our goal is that everyone connected with this church gets into a small group and goes through some curriculum that says what exactly is the gospel, how to present the gospel, how can you know your security, how can you get into Scripture for yourself, do you understand prayer, do you understand the purpose of it? All of those are in there. That's our plan. And then when you get that put in your brain, you say, who can I tell this to? That's the plan. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul said, Timothy, the things that I have taught you, you in turn around and teach faithful people so they in turn can turn around and teach other faithful people. That's the plan. So that's discipleship. And that's what we want to see. And we want to see how this fits together. There are a lot of reasons people aren't growing. But part of it is they've never understood. There's not discipleship involved in a lot of areas and a lot of churches and a lot of people. So we want to see that. Let's start with this whole idea of being a disciple. Contrast being a disciple and being a believer, because there is a difference. There are some people who think they're the same, but they're not, and we'll talk about that. We want to look at the difference and see how it fits together. Let's talk about this. First of all, being a believer. How much does being a believer cost you? As Don says, absolutely nothing. It's a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast." Salvation is a gift. Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, paid for your sin, my sin, was buried and rose again. And the Bible says, if you will trust in Him and Him alone, if you will take the gift of salvation, it comes simply by faith. Doesn't cost us a thing. Now, people come up and they will say, "You mean you're telling people that they can go to heaven simply by faith in Jesus?" I said, "That's right." Well, that's cheap grace. It's not cheap. Real, 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 real expensive. It cost God His Son. Jesus had to become a person. He had to humble Himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. It's not cheap at all. It's just free. And there's a difference between something being cheap and something being free. And by the way, there's no cheap grace. It's always free grace. Grace is always free. There's some people who will tell you that if you tell people that they're simply saved by faith, that's called easy believism. What's hard believism? How easy is it to believe in someone you've never seen who lived 2,000 years ago, who is a human being, who is the Son of God, who died on the cross and paid for your sins and buried and rose again, and says that He is God and you have to trust Him and you've never seen Him and you don't know Him? That's not that easy. Only by the Spirit of God drawing you to Himself can you ever put your faith in Him. It is a gift. It's the grace of God. Don't ever underestimate the grace of God. Don't ever add to the grace of God. You're saved by the grace of God. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift. Now, in contrast to that, I want you to think about being a disciple. Because here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. You must deny yourself. You must put your hand to the plow and not look back. Being a disciple is not the same as being a believer. Being a believer costs you absolutely nothing. Being a disciple costs you your life. Being a disciple is when you say, I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. I am willing to go anywhere, do anything, be anything, whatever He wants me to do, I give up my life to Him right now in service for Him. That's being a disciple. And there's a big difference because it costs a lot. It costs you your life. Salvation, it's a gift. Discipleship costs you your life. I want you to see something. Turn to Luke chapter 14. We're going to go to two or three places pretty quickly. Luke chapter 14. As you're turning there, let me read a verse to you. It's verse 25. 27 is what we're going to look at and to see. But verse 25 says, great multitudes were going along with Him, and He turned to them and said, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. He didn't say you can't be a believer. He didn't say you can't trust in Me and have eternal life, because He told them, whosoever believes in Me will not perish but have eternal life, just by faith. He said, but if you're going to be My disciple, He goes on to say, in verse 27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. He didn't say cannot be a believer. He said cannot be My disciple. There is a difference. Being a believer, it's a gift. Being a disciple costs. And let me tell you, at that day and time, we don't always think about it now, because a cross just is a piece of jewelry a lot of times to people now. We see that cross up there, and sometimes we forget that we're talking about that's where Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins. At that day and time, anybody said take up a cross, that meant death. That'd be like taking up the electric chair, the gas chamber, the lethal injection. You got to die to yourself. He said, you want to be My disciple? You be willing to give up your life. To die right now, to die for Jesus Christ. When I was coaching at Mississippi State, my life was miserable. I was not serving God. I was not growing as a Christian, never been a disciple, never done all that stuff. And finally, one day, I came home, and you know this story. I came home from football practice. It was in the spring. We had spring training, which everybody hated. Coaches hated it. Players hated it. We all hated it. But I came home from spring training. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And not only was I tired from football, but I was miserable in my life as a Christian, because I wasn't living for Jesus Christ. And I had read enough of the Bible to know that as a believer, I should live for Him. And I got down on my knees in my room, and I said, I want my life to count for You from this point on. I'm scared because I want to be a coach, but you might have something else for me to do. But it doesn't matter. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I want my life to count for you. That's a disciple. Things have never been the same since that night. The next day I went out to football practice. I had this guy that was a graduate assistant, and he was in the same church I was in. So remember, I was the guy sitting there writing down the notes, closing up the Bible, and coming back the next day and opening up and going, oh, there's those notes. He was active and involved, and he came up to me at practice that day, and he said, how would you like to give you a testimony at church next Sunday? I went, me? I thought, boy, God's serious about this. I said this stuff last night. He got me up in church the next day. And it's never been the same. Never been the same. God changed my desires. I'm no longer a coach. And if you say, would you like to be a coach? I'd say, oh, no. Oh, no. I loved it. My whole life, that's what I wanted to be and wanted to do. And now I don't want to. I like to go to the games. If anybody wants to take me to one of the games, I'll be glad to go with you. But but I don't want to be a coach. He changed me. Now, that's what discipleship is. But it cost me. And it cost you. There are many of you in this room who know exactly what I'm talking about. At a time in your life, you said to God, I've already trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know I have eternal life. But from this moment on, I want my life to count for you. I give up my life to you. You take up the cross. You die to yourself. You die to whatever you think of desires and plans and goals that you think you have for your life. And you say, God, I don't even know what the future holds, but I put it in your hand. I want to live for you. So that old saying of discipleship is like taking a blank page and saying, this is God's plan for your life. Now, you don't know what it says, but sign down at the bottom. I will. And I did. Let me give you another verse. This is in Mark chapter 8. Just listen to this. You can turn there if you want to, but Mark chapter 8, verse 34. He summoned the multitudes with his disciples and said to him, if anyone wishes to come after me, to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny. There is a distinction between being a believer and being a disciple. I show it this way on this little overhead because here's the cross. And before we come to the cross, we're an unbeliever. And we come to this cross by faith. It's salvation. It costs us absolutely nothing. It's by grace you're saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. That's salvation. When you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, after you trust Him, after you're a believer, then you come to this point of discipleship. And it is a walk of faith. It is a cost of your life. It has to deal with your service and who you're going to live for. And that's called discipleship. And there is a difference. There are some people say, if you're not serving Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. You're saved by grace through faith. Your life, when you say, I want to give up my life to Jesus Christ, that's discipleship. That's why we're so, I want to use the word strict at Countryside about how you share your faith. And when you tell people, put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Historically, people have said, give your life to Jesus to be saved. What do they mean by that? Is that a swap process? I'm going to give Him my life and He's going to save me? You're saved not because you give God anything. You're saved because you take the gift of eternal life. And so do you see the distinction? Being a believer, it costs us nothing. It's the gift. Because God is Son, cost us nothing. Being a disciple, it costs us everything. It costs your life. Let me raise a question just for you to think about it. Don't tell anybody, but where do you stand right now? If somebody said to you, are you a believer? I hope everybody, let me just say this. I hope everyone in this room has already trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior simply by faith. It's a gift. The second question is, are you a disciple? It's going to cost you your life. It is a major decision. It's not one that I say, just make it. I mean, you're supposed to make it. Well, you are. But Jesus said, don't make the decision without counting the cost. And He uses a couple of illustrations about a guy doesn't go to war unless he makes sure he's got enough soldiers. A guy doesn't start building a tower unless he makes sure he has enough equipment and stuff to build it because he doesn't want to stop right in the middle. He said, a guy putting his hand on the plow is not supposed to be looking back. Where do you stand? What a decision. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Let me say this to you. I was so afraid. And you could talk to other people in this room because I know people in this room who are disciples of Jesus Christ. And I could point at them and embarrass them and ask them. But it's the same thing. We're there and you know that you have eternal life because Jesus Christ promised it to you. And that's the gift. Now the question is, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to live for Jesus Christ or not? That's a disciple. Are you going to take up your cross? Are you going to be willing to say, I don't care where I go, where I live, what you have for me to do. Take the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the possessions, everything you've ever given to me. Take it and use it for your glory. That's being a disciple. And it costs you everything. My prayer is that, yeah.
If you are a believer and are not a disciple, how does God work with your life?
I think it still uses the gifts and talents, but I think that you're not growing and you're not being very effective because usually you're not being in positions where He's able to use you or chooses to use you.
Well, you work through, God works sanctification in your life. Will He not, isn't it God's plan to draw you?
I think
that people continue to work that in their life. You made the decision to give everything up, but it was God working.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit,
you're exactly right.
Exactly. So God
is continually working.
To sanctify you as a believer.
I think His plan is to conform you to the image of His Son. That's exactly right. The ultimate plan that every believer is supposed to be a disciple. And His ultimate plan will be, according to Romans 8, that He's going to conform you to the image of His Son, and He's going to make you like Jesus Christ. But it may be at the end, you might say, or through the process. So I think He's working in lives, but there are a lot of people who are not disciples. And let's be honest, there are a lot of people who don't ever become disciples, even though He works in their lives. I think, you know me, on the sovereignty of God, I think He's sovereign and He's working. But
I heard a pastor one time say that, well, you'd be a believer and God will just set you on the shelf. And I don't believe that God ever leaves His children alone.
You're exactly, I believe just like you believe on that. I don't think He leaves you alone. I think He's continually working in your life and trying to bring you to Himself. And if there's sin in your life, He's going to deal with you as a heavenly father to a child. But not everybody continually responds in the way that they're supposed to respond, as we know. But you're right. That's the ultimate plan is for everybody. I mean, it's not a question. And let me say this. I'm glad you brought this up. We're not here with this option that says, now, you can be a believer and never even worry about being a disciple. That's not the plan. The plan is to make disciples. The plan is that we go out. It's not just evangelism. Lead a bunch of people to Christ and say, now, you're Christians. Just kind of have fun, and we're going to go on, and there's certain others that are going to be more fired up. The plan is that everyone is to be a disciple. That's exactly the plan. Not everybody is. Not everybody says, I want my life to count for you. Not everybody is willing to take up the cross. That's why it says, the ones who take up the cross, they are my disciples. Carol.
I understand.
Okay. She says the verse that says in Luke 14:26 that says, if a man comes to me and doesn't hate his mother or father or brother or sisters or wives or children, he cannot be my disciple. Let me tell you what that means. Is it time? 5 minutes? Okay, 5 minutes. Let me tell you what that means, because it is scary. It looks at that and he says, well, I don't want to hate my mother and daddy to be a follower of Christ. He's using a Hebrew analogy of, and you remember in another place in the Bible it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Didn't mean he hated Esau. That was a Jewish way of saying, I have chosen Jacob and not chosen Esau. To say love and hate was the idea of a choice. And so he says, if you hate your mother and your father and brother, he's saying, you're not choosing them, you're choosing Christ above them. Meaning that your life is going to count for Christ, not for your mother and your father and those kind of things. That's all he's saying. He's not saying you don't love them. In fact, a little bit in some other places, he's going to say, you must love them. This is just a Hebrew way of making a choice, of saying, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated.
Well, I guess I don't understand why it wasn't clarified.
Well, most of the translators translated it basically word for word out of the Greeks there. See, and there's a lot of things that are translated into the English language from the Greek that aren't necessarily explained.
I've known men to leave their families because
of the verse, supposedly going to become a man. I have known men to do the same thing. I have known people to do the same thing. It means that you're going to say that as far as my life is concerned, the most important relationship and the one that I am choosing to live for is Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean I don't love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's what he tells us to do. It doesn't mean I don't love my children. No, I got to train them up. I love my mother. I honor my mother and father. And you got to do all of those things. So that's not saying you hate them and in the sense of hate like we think the world means hate, like I don't want to have anything to do with them. It just means you choose Jesus Christ above all other relationships. Good stuff. Wow. Is this hard or what? This is a major issue. This is the major thing. Let me see where we are, because I don't know if I want to just start on these characteristics. Being a believer costs nothing. It's a gift. heard a guy explain it the other day the wrong way. He said, salvation is a gift that costs you everything. It's impossible. It can't be a gift that costs you everything. Now, being a disciple costs you everything, but not salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy does He save us. Who had a hand up? Jonathan, okay. Okay, remember that passage where he says, let me go bury my father first. And what Jesus was saying to him is, he didn't mean that his father had just died and he needed to go handle the burial thing and then he was going to call him the Father of Christ. What he was meaning was, wait till my parents die, let me get my inheritance, let me get all the stuff I'm supposed to have, and then I'm going to follow you. And that's when Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And he meant, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. So that guy was not just saying, look, my father just died and I'd like to follow you, but I got to handle the funeral right here. Is that okay? And then I'll follow you. That's not what he's talking about. He was saying, yeah, I'd like to wait till my father died. Of course, it could be 20, 25 years. And then I want to get my inheritance. And then I'll follow you. And there are people who say that all the time. They say, you know, as soon as I get out of college, because see, I'm real busy in college and I got a lot of papers and tests and cost money. But when I get out of college, then I'm going to really be active more in church and I'm going to start living for Jesus and I'm going to take notes and everything. And then actually looking at those notes. And then they say they're out of college and they say, you know, I just got married and we're so happy we just moved here and we got to fix up our house and there's just a lot to do. And when we get settled, we'll really start being active in church. And then they say, gosh, but we just had this little baby. And see, this baby is so cute and everything, but it takes up so much time, those little rascals. And so when the baby gets a little bit older and we can get them like into Sunday school and things like that, then we'll be a lot more involved in church. But gosh, they're junior high now and you just don't know what kind of time it takes. And now we took them off to college and we can't even pay the way. I mean, if you don't decide, you never will. There's always something in the way. I had a person one time tell me, I was doing some counseling with them, and they just said to me, I'm not excited for the Lord right now, but it's because there's just so many things going on. But as soon as I get these solved, I'll start living for Christ. I said, there'll always be things in your life. There's never a time it's not. Was that the bell? Oh. Okay, let's look at this. Let's just think. I want you to think about this. We'll come back next week, and we'll really go into distinctions. We'll talk about it some more. Here's the thing. Salvation is the gift. Cost God His Son. Cost Jesus His life, but it's a gift to us. It's free. Discipleship cost us our lives. And as He said back here a while ago, it is not something that you can say, well, you know, I'll just go my whole life and not be a disciple. The plan is that you are to be a disciple. God's plan is that we make disciples, leading them to Christ, teaching them all that He's commanded. And so that's the plan. So if you are not a disciple, I want you to think this week about the whole concept of your life counting for Jesus Christ. Let me say one other thing. I know time is up, but let me say this. You don't know tomorrow. You don't even know the next 15 minutes. We think that if we don't even know the next 15 minutes, that we're wise enough to know what we think we ought to do with our lives. And yet we got the one who created us, redeemed us, gifted us, and takes care of us. And we want to say to Him, no thanks. I don't want you to have my life and deal with me. I don't know the next second even, but I think I can handle my life. No. The wisest thing you'll ever do is say to God, God, I love you. You say to me, I want my life to count for you. I don't know what the next second is. You know what everything is from the end, from the beginning, and you will use me for your glory. So think about that this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this study. Lord, we're thankful for the whole aspect of discipleship and salvation. And Lord, thank you that salvation is a gift. Thank you. It's not by works of righteousness we've done, but it's your mercy that saves us, that by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's your gift to us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't do things to be saved, but we take the gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray for every one of us in this room that if we have not already become disciples by saying, I want my life to count for you, Lord, I pray that each one will examine, even this week, that issue. We know that the plan is that all of us to be disciples. Lord, I pray that we will think about our lives, realizing that it is a great cost, but it is the wisest, best decision we can make. Lord, thank you for these believers. Thank you for this time of coming together. Use us, Lord. May we have a great time as we continue in this subject even next week. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.